Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. I'm your host, Alan Jacoby. Today's show, I have a very special guest I'm excited about. He's a patriot, a veteran, chaplain, and a kick-ass conservative running for Congress in Arizona. I want to welcome Alex Stovall to the show. Welcome, Alex. Thanks for being here. I'm really happy you could be here with us.
Thank you, Alan. I'm happy to be here. It's a blessing. And I just want to give a shout-out to our veterans out there. And I would hope we'd have a time to do a moment of silence for those who did not make it back in uniform. I think it's important that we make no mistake and forget what Memorial Day is intended for. Thank you.
It was my honor. I constantly remind people that, yes, some people lose sight. A lot of people lose sight of what Memorial Day really is. And I tell people it's more than a 3-day weekend. And you know, people just, like I said, lose sight of it. It's honoring those that gave their lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms that we have and that we often take for granted.
Correct.
And, you know, you can go and grill your hamburgers and hot dogs and do your keg stands on your back deck, but just remember why you're able to do that. And just take a minute and, you know, fly that flag and honor somebody, honor those. Maybe you know somebody, maybe you don't, maybe a neighbor, somebody who might not be with us because, you know, they paid with their lives to protect our freedoms. Absolutely. Alex, you're running for Congress in Arizona. And it's interesting because I looked the Democrat that's in there now in the seat, he's actually, I don't know if you realize this, I'm from Long Island, New York. He was actually born in Long Island, New York. Yes. I didn't know that.
He was. And,
yeah. So, well, I'm sorry that we infected Arizona with one of our Democrats. My apologies.
All right. I've voluntold myself to be a political surgeon to cure our society of cancer. So one way or another, we're going to get rid of it.
I love it. So, listen, tell everybody about yourself and your plan to make America first in Congress. What's the plan?
So I want to say I don't want to focus so much on myself because I think we have enough politicians doing that. Alex Stovall, as you mentioned. I'm a congressional candidate for Phoenix, Arizona, and a proud chaplain candidate. I am fully qualified to be a chaplain. So I wanted to just put that and set that on the record just in case there's any confusion to decipher through that. But in regards to keeping America first, I think we have politicians that spend a lot of time telling the American people what they are going to do, and then they never fulfill those promises. So as a candidate and soon to be somebody that could potentially be the representative of the people, I think it's important that I ask my constituents and I emphasize to the American people, it's about what you guys need. It's not about what I do. Because at the end of the day, I could tell you until I'm blue in the face and promise you the moon and the stars. But if that doesn't move the needle and that doesn't help the economy and the infrastructure or our communities or our children, then it's just in vain. So I think keeping America first is doing just that. You go to your constituents, you go to the American people, you ask them, what is it that you guys need? And then I implement the bill and push it to make sure it happens. I serve the people. It's very simple.
Right. And I think, not that I think, we know that career politicians in Congress, what I affectionately call the swamp, who are just embedded in that DC mentality, and they don't have that we work for the people anymore. No, they look at themselves as royalty, and people like me are the peasants, and they're not accountable. In their eyes, they're not accountable to us, the American voters. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of American voters that they don't see that, and they just keep reelecting the same person for 30 and 40 and 50 years. Like, you know, our current president, almost 50 years. And, you know, He should have a impeccable service record as a politician for 50 years, and he's done nothing but do damage, in my opinion, from the 94 crime bill up until what he's doing now in the Oval Office. And other people, I'm not going to sit here and bash everyone, but we get the idea. And I'm a firm believer, like what Ted Cruz talks about, the term limits for members of Congress. It's they're getting too comfortable, and they're not upholding the oath that they took to defend and uphold the Constitution of the United States. And that's what we need. As a conservative,
as a person that claims to be a believer and submit to a higher power or a God, I think it's important that we don't get complacent. When you get complacent, you have a tendency to make mistakes. You have a tendency to do things that are flawed, and people get killed. So although I didn't have the opportunity to go to Afghanistan and Iraq, just because my career in the military took me a different path, I will say that complacency will be the death of our country. So we've got to get uncomplacent.
Absolutely. Not only that, but the members of Congress who, in my opinion, and I know you feel the same way because you've said it publicly, who hate America and hate God and hate faith and would rather support adversaries and I'll say the word terrorism than uphold and be proud of America. Instead, they want to tear it down and destroy it in their sick progressive ways, their radical progressive ways, like AOC. You know, of course, that's who I'm talking about.
Right.
So it's sad because there are members of Congress who I believe love America and they want to work for the people, and I want to believe that, especially some of the newer members of Congress who are Republican, conservative, who are not being embraced, in my opinion, by the Republican leadership in Congress. And I feel like I'm hoping that the Republican leadership in Congress, yeah, I'm happy they got rid of Liz Cheney. I mean, she might as well just become a Democrat at this point. I'm hoping that Kevin McCarthy and the other members of the leadership start listening more to the newer, maybe the younger, and the more aggressive America First Congress members, and those hopefully soon to be Congress members like yourself. It's the one thing about the Democratic Party, which I hate to say it, is their leadership listens to those sick progressive radicals in the party, where I feel like the Republican leadership is not listening to the Republican and conservative members of the party who have good ideas. They're just they're not listening to them. You know, you follow what I'm saying?
I do. I think it goes back to scripture. Our forefathers were very, very, very spiritual, very intellectual, and very sophisticated. And Jesus said it, you have eyes but don't see, you have ears, but don't hear. You have a mouth, but don't speak. We have a lot of people that are in political office that listen, but don't comprehend. They listen, but they don't comprehend what the American people need. They speak, but they're not saying anything. It sounds appealing. Their policies may sound fancy, but behind closed doors, they're actually destroying American lives. So I think there's a lot to be said about what the scripture said and how our forefathers grew up.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, they lose sight of all of that in, I don't know if it's, I don't know, power that net they now have as an elected official. But like you said, they have eyes and they don't see, and they have ears and they don't hear. I think it's partially because they don't care. I think that's a big part of it, is they don't care.
They have selective hearing, they have selective sight, and they have their own personal agendas. They put the American people second. And I mean, we since we're talking about AOC and the campaign video, I wanted to jump in a little bit on that. AOC's policies that she wants to push, for example, free college, the Green New Deal. I don't know about you, but I grew up in the system. I was a walkaway Democrat. I just didn't advertise it because I didn't want the political clout. That was between me and that was between God. And that was something that I did on my own. So I don't go around boasting about how I was a walkaway. Okay. It's kind of shameful that I even had to be a walkaway. But I can't miss what I don't know, right? So it took insight, it took empowerment, it took courage to walk away. But you think about AOC's policies about this Green New Deal to give free college. There is nothing that's free besides death and taxes. I mean, our very speech is at risk of being taken away. We have the AKA cancel culture that's happening. Like you said, you're a Facebook convict now. You've been in prison for what, 30 days, I think you mentioned?
I am.
Anytime you speak out against
the government. Just got a 30-day jail sentence.
Anytime that American people speak out, or an Army reservist or an active duty service member speaks out against things that are wrong, they get chastised, and they want to shut them down. They want to close them up. I understand what regulation says. I'm very familiar with it. But the Army appoints leaders to do it just exactly that, to lead. And if I see something that isn't ethical or moral, and I won't go into specifics, but the truth stands for itself. We look at our policies, we look at what the Democratic Party is trying to implement. We look at how the Republicans, for the most part, are standing idle, letting this happen. It should never be this way. It should have never gotten to this point.
No, you're absolutely right. And people like, you know, we talk about AOC. She's a dangerous individual. She's a dangerous individual to hold any type of power in any type of government because of how radical and progressive she is. And it's only going to get worse with her because, unfortunately, she has a very, very large following. And
yes,
I see her wanting to progress and advance. And I see the writing's on the wall. I believe she's going to primary Chuck Schumer. And unfortunately, if she does, I have a feeling she has a good shot, unfortunately. And then New York is stuck with AOC as a senator. And she's just, first of all, she's a do-nothing in Congress. All she does is talk and talk and talk and talk against America. But I know that there are polls out there. She's made no progress. She hasn't done anything for anybody in her district, for her constituents. And that's one of those typical Democrats that promise the world, do nothing, and keeps getting reelected. And she talks about all of this.
Show me the fruit.
Right. She talks about all of this. Yeah. She talks about all of this wealth equality and you, like you said, the free education, the free healthcare. She wants, you know, for her and Bernie Sanders want to build free housing for everybody who can't afford it. And then she, you know, says, oh, I was a bartender. I became a member of Congress. But, you know, now she's got the two apartments. She's got the high end clothes. She drives the Tesla. She makes her $174,000 a year. I don't know. Is that wealth equality for AOC because she was a poor bartender from the Bronx and now that's her wealth equality off the government to be able to afford that lifestyle? I don't know, but she's a member of the squad, and now I have dubbed that squad since this is Israel Hamas conflict. I have dubbed them the Jihad Squad because that is what they support in terrorism, and these are members of the United States Congress, AOC, you know, Ilhan Omar, you know, the Ayanna Pressley, Cori Bush, Rashida Tlaib, all of them. They, to me, they're just terrorist loving, anti-American. I'm going to just say pieces of garbage. I'm not going to censor it. Pieces of garbage. That's my opinion. And I think rational humans, rational thinkers, or people that are maybe becoming rational thinkers and seeing their true colors are seeing that. And then seeing people like like you, who actually stand for America and in support of America and God and faith and conservative values. Well, that's what we need. Otherwise, our country is right now it's like a runaway train, and it's this race to the midterms where the Democrats are trying to do as much damage as possible, which they think is helping the country. The midterms can't come soon enough, so hopefully people like you get elected. It's a great time to be alive, but it's also concerning and scary.
The burning dumpster fire we call a country that we're currently living in is tumultuous. At the end of the day, Americans have to take ownership of their country. We the people are not the government. And that was a quote that President Biden said, not that I said. Last time I checked, we the people are the American people. We are not a part of the government. We appoint the government, and the government is an overseer to make sure what the people need and what the people want gets carried out. So we have a problem. It starts with the younger generation. We need to start influencing our younger generation in a way that's positive, that's going to help them be more sophisticated, help them be more intellectual, and help them be more passionate about their country. The CRT thing that they're trying to implement with a bill and the policy to be bled into our schools, don't get me started on that. When was the last time you heard a child actually say the Pledge of Allegiance? When was the last time you actually heard a child say the Constitution? We don't have it anymore. Why? Because they don't truly understand what it means to be a free American citizen. We need to start implementing that back into our schools, or there won't be an America. Free is not free. Somebody has to pay for it, whether it's in blood, or whether it's in money, or whether it's in time. Free isn't free. We have to make sure that American kids, American children, American adolescents, American adults, and those that are in Congress understand, not just understand, but comprehend that free is not free. You have to pay for it. Someone has to pay for it. And I refuse to let my kids grow up and have that conversation with them and say, oh, I didn't do enough. Or why didn't I fight? I don't want to be that parent.
I agree 100% with you. This critical race theory ideology, the war is starting on that, especially in my area. We just had the school board elections in all the school districts, and in my area, and there were some incumbents in school board positions that were okay with critical race theory, going as far as saying police kill Black men in Black neighborhoods. And in some of these districts, they got reelected. In some of these districts, incumbents were voted out. And because conservatives are just now starting to step up and get involved in these school board elections, I'm watching very closely on the work that my daughter is doing in school. My where I live, it's not very diverse. I'm in a white neighborhood, and it hasn't creeped in yet. And the thing is, with this woke liberalism and this critical race theory ridiculousness, it's coming from woke white liberals that are really pushing it, that I'm seeing in my area. And I just did an episode, it's not even out yet, on something that happened back in February in Oregon, the largest school district in Oregon. They had a Zoom meeting of 3,000 teachers. They have the student population is 42,000. I forget already what the district is, but it's the largest in Oregon. They had this Zoom meeting. It was a summit of basically critical race theory, but they were trying to dress it up. One of the teachers, I had the video clip, actually said, was telling teachers that you either have to evolve or dissolve. If you're not going to teach this anti-racism critical race theory, which we all know is the epitome of racism and teaching kids to hate America and teaching kids a victimology and that you're the oppressor and you're the oppressed based on the color of your skin. She went ahead and said, if you're not going to get on board with this anti-racism teaching, then one, you're going to lose your job. And she said, you're equal to a teacher that sexually abuses children. She said this in the Zoom meeting with 30 other teachers, and the other teachers on the Zoom channel, there were white teachers, there were African-American teachers, there were Asian teachers and Hispanic teachers. And they're all sitting there nodding their head in agreement. Like, yeah, we have to get on board with this government funded indoctrination of our children. And what you said about the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, yeah, they say it in my daughter's school.
My concern is we've gotten so complacent and comfortable as Americans because we've been so work. We've neglected our children. And by default, it's our own doing. The American father has been absent in white homes and Hispanic homes and black homes and Asian homes because we've been trying to keep up with the Joneses. People really don't understand the concept of free or what it actually means to give something away. You have all these policies and you have these tax credits and these tax breaks and these deals that are Oval Office representatives are giving to the American people. I don't know about you, but I'm not giving something away that has value unless, in fact, it doesn't really have value.
No.
And if we keep printing money and we're not influencing our children to understand the importance of inflation, we're in some serious trouble. We're in some really, really, really dangerous times. Our dollar is dropping sporadically at rapid pace. And we think about that, and I know you mentioned about the Constitution and the freedoms of speech, the obey and consume mentality that we keep trying to indoctrinate our kids into. We're not allowing people to be Americans. We're not allowing people to be free thinkers. Free thinkers create competition. Competition creates good infrastructure. Good infrastructure creates healthy economy. It's very simple, but people say politics are complex. There's nothing complex about it. We need more competition.
No, I agree. We need, and the, you know, the left, they want to chastise you for embracing capitalism and having that competition to make the economy stronger. And yeah, giving away things of value, giving away things of I'm not giving away money that I worked hard for to support my family. I work very hard. I own two small businesses, and I'm not going to be told that now you're going to tax me almost 50% or more of what I make because for just one reason, you're going to have people sitting home on their couch eating Hot Pockets, playing Xbox, not going to work because they're feeding off the government teat, you know, and this wealth equality. And I'm supposed to bridge that gap of wealth equality because I have successful businesses and I do well, but the next person doesn't. That's not America.
So the problem with the Democratic Party, I think, is they are Democrats and Republicans. I'm holding everybody's feet to the fire. At this point, I really don't care because you have kids that are still starving. You have kids that are still in crappy schools. You have kids that aren't being educated. And you have the Republican and Democratic Party representatives acting like children. It's like a food fight in a cafeteria. How much dirt can I throw on another person? At the end of the day, you have to be the change you want to see. And neither party has done a good job at implementing the change. They've done a lot of talky-talky, but nothing has happened. I mean, I have a whole bunch of people that I've listened to tell me, don't say this that way because that will upset this group, or don't say it this way because that will not appease this group. Okay, first off, it's about the American people. I'm not here to make friends and make people feel good about themselves. I'm here to serve my constituents and my community. So if you don't like that, tough. I'm not living my life for you. Surprise. So I'm just so
and that's the problem. It's yeah. These people are, like you said, they want to appease a certain group and not forget about. We're not talking about their constituents. Maybe we're talking about lobbyists or even just other people in their party. That well, I don't want to displease these people in my party. You don't work for those people in your party. You work for the people that you represent, that put you, that gave you the privilege and the honor of putting you there to do what they need you to do to represent them as the American people. That is your job, nothing else. That is your job.
You know, correct.
I wanted to talk to you about, because you're in Arizona, and I wanted to bring up what's going on at the border. And, you know, you're not too far from it, and I'm sure you maybe see the effects more than, say, I would in New York, obviously. But what it's a hard question to say, to answer. What can be done about this man-made border crisis that the Biden administration has purposely made happen for obvious reasons? It's getting worse, but they stop talking about it.
Yes, keeping us confused keeps the elitist in business. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Everyone's parading around talking about how there's so many people crossing the border, but it's the look over here, but don't pay attention to what's going on over here type of analogy. There are hundreds of kids that are being trafficked right now. I think the average age is dropping rapidly. I think 14 years old. I've got three sisters that are right around that threshold. I don't know about you, but I believe President Biden, his words, not mine, made a comment about a six-year-old girl saying she looked 19 with her legs crossed. Now, I don't care if you're an active serving member.
It's still making me nauseous.
I don't care what your stance is in the military or what policies are or regulation. I will not sit idle and just nod my head and call that acceptable. You're the president of the United States of America, and you're making comments about a child like that? And everyone just negates it and says, oh, let's look at Matt Gaetz. Let's look at this. Let's look at that. Matt Gaetz isn't the president of the United States. You have to be better.
Right. I can't even get words out on my disgust for that. And then, you're wrong as a conservative. What's that?
Let me answer your question about the border crisis. So I think a big issue is sex trafficking.
Yes.
It's huge. So yes, you have people coming over, but you have a lot of sex trafficking that's taking place, and no one is covering these stories. It's almost as if they're turning a blind eye. So let's really focus on what's going on at the border. We need to create a merit bill. We need to finish the wall. And as AOC, air quote, says she's okay with just immigration reform. But nobody on the Democratic Party has really said what that looks like. It sounds nice, but what is immigration reform? Making it fair? No, you finish the wall and you give a door for people. You give a process for people to go through. We are giving hand-ups, not handouts, and America is no longer for sale. If we can't take care of our own people, why are we sending money to Pakistan, Afghanistan, all these other random countries? And we have Americans and veterans specifically starving and living on the streets. 7,900 veterans die a year. But we care about the American people? I don't know about you, but it's maybe a sixth sense. I'm not in uniform, so I can speak freely. I have a serious problem with us negating our veterans and just sweeping them under the rug. Obey and consume. Shut up. You're in the service, so you don't get to have an opinion. While our brothers and sisters get shipped out all over places that I won't even entertain the idea about where they're going. And then they come back to be integrated, and they can't even get that done. There's a list of things I could talk about, but we need a merit bill. You finish the merit bill. You implement a merit bill, and you execute it. That will help mitigate a lot of what's going on over there. We are open to people coming to the country, but you have to bring something to the economy and to the infrastructure. We're not giving handouts anymore.
The problem is we are giving handouts, unfortunately, right now. And merit bill, the border wall, we have veterans sleeping on the street, but we're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars to put illegals in hotels and feed them. And now we're flying children in parts of the country and the cover of night. There's some decent investigative reporting going. The Iowa Standard did a story on it. There was something going on in Tennessee where just planes are landing with with Homeland Security officers or federal officers, and they're putting kids in facilities. You say, you know, that there are hundreds of kids being trafficked. There are, I think, tens of thousands of children being trafficked. The border is open. The border is not secure. The only economy that Joe Biden has successfully helped is the economy for the drug cartels, the human smugglers, the sex traffickers, and the drug dealers. They're making millions and millions of dollars by the day. They know what they're doing, sending us their children and overwhelming Border Patrol so that they can get into the gaps where there is no wall because they're busy processing kids. Border Patrol is not doing security. They're doing paperwork processing. It's a nightmare. And I say this constantly on my show that right, the man-made border crisis is all part of the plan. It is the largest Democratic voting registration drive in modern U.S. history. Because how are they? They're all going to come here. They're not leaving. They're all going to become voters. And who were they voting for? I made a joke yesterday. I was doing a live roundtable with conservatives in Canada, where they have it horribly with internet censorship. And I made a joke and I said, well, we should just open. I want to go to the northern border and I want to smuggle in all the illegal Canadian conservatives just to level the playing field in America with what they're doing with the border.
Yeah. An eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind, right? So we
right
in this game, and they're going to carry on with their shenanigans. But I the simple solution is to start electing people that have open minds, fresh ideas, and that truly are patriots and keep America first. And if it has to be a 26-year-old to do that because you have others that are stuck in their old ways, then so be it.
Hey, you know, it says right there in the, that, you know, you have to be 25 years old. So, you know, you meet the age requirement. To me, I age is nothing. I've heard you speak. Like I said, I discovered you by following Kim Klasick, who I think is just unbelievable. And I came across you through her and listening to you speak and your videos, and you have more at 26 years old. From what it looks like, you have more life experience and credentials than members of Congress that are in there for 20 and 30 years. A military experience, your religious background, just and your values. You're what we need 50 of you so we could load the Senate with 50 Alex Stovalls. I mean, it's more people, and I more people, I hope, at a young age like you, I hope would see someone like you and get inspiration and saying, you know, this guy, he stands for something and he's doing it and he loves his country. And maybe that's me. Maybe I can take that path. He can do it. And that's why I can't wait for the midterm elections and election night. You know, that there are certain, I don't even, New York's a lost cause. I don't even watch what happens in New York. There are certain places I'm going to be, I'm going to be in New York watching on the ticker, the congressional district that you're running in, hoping, I hope Alex wins. Just so I know, as a conservative American, that there's one more conservative seat. You may not represent me. You may not work for me. I'm not your constituent. But just knowing that there's someone like you in Congress on my side, that's all I need. You know, I make political contributions here and there. I don't contribute to really any Republicans in New York, because to me, most of the Republicans in New York and Congress and other offices, to me, are rhinos. They really are. They're Democrats in disguise. To me, I look for other candidates around the country saying, where can my money maybe be useful, where they have a fighting chance, you know? It's just, I want everyone to, now you're on this campaign trail. I mean, you're busy working every day, but you're losing a month coming up, correct?
Correct. You got, so I'll be doing my military stuff with my brigade. So,
right.
And I do that cheerfully. I have a hard time letting go of the military. So assuming they don't kick me out for whatever conspiracy theories or unvalidated accusations they have against me, besides the point. But I want to say first and foremost, to God be the glory. Truly. If when I win this election, because I believe that God's already ceased the victory, it won't be my own doing. It won't be my personality. It'll be God truly within me. And if we have more conservatives and more representatives in the House that truly allow God to be at the center of what they're doing to help his people, there's hope. So I don't do this for the GOP. I don't do this for myself. I don't do this for a political clout. I do this because I know it needs to be done. I would much rather go to the active component and hand out candy and sit in a foxhole with the high-speed Rangers. Personally, that's what I would want to do. But what am I going to come back to, right? So once again, to God be the glory that he's humbled me and allowed me to step into this position so I can serve the people. I'm all for service. We need more servants, not more Alexes. We need more servants.
I like that. I like that. Well, Alex, I hope that you are. I will pray that you are victorious in this election and that you're able to serve the American people in the capacity of congressman in your district in Arizona. What is it? It's the ninth. Is it the ninth district? Is that the district?
Ninth congressional district. The member that's currently seated there is Greg Stanton, also known as Light Rail Greg, is what I call him. Alex for Arizona is the website. Alex for Arizona is how you guys can reach out and connect and get involved. I believe this movement and this campaign is setting foundations for something that's greater than me, greater than Arizona, greater than CD9, and far greater than our state. It's the country. So I'm excited to keep going, and I don't intend to be silent about these issues and concerns and assisting our constituents the way they need the help. So thank you for having me come on. It's been a blessing, and I'm honored.
No, I love it, Alex. I'm excited for you. I wish you the best when you're in your military deployment for that month. If you all of Alex's information will be in the show notes. His website is alex4arizona.com. It's Alex the number 4arizona.com. It'll be there. I want everyone to take a look at the end of the episode. His campaign video, which I absolutely love. Again, if you want to catch the episodes, go to thegreatdivide1776.com. You can catch all the social media there. Alex, it was an honor. I wish you the best of luck. You're always welcome to come back and discuss anything that you'd like. And I wish you the best and be safe out there. Thanks for coming on, Alex.
Thank you. God bless you and God bless America.
All right. All right, everybody. Take care. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. And like Alex just said, like always, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.